Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Deuteronomy 6. I read verse 13 as text verse. Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. We use the Heidelberg Catechism also as we have read from Lord's Days 37. Question-answer 101. The title of the sermon is Fear the Lord and Swear by His Name. Fear the Lord and Swear by His Name. Congregation, there is a certain game, and actually I don't like it. But I use it as an illustration. It's a game, and there's a leader of the game and 10 people involved. And they have to do certain tasks, certain things, and they can earn credits. But one of those 10 people is, you could say, someone who is trying to frustrate the whole thing. And you don't know who that is. Might be the one who you trust, the one who you might make kind of a covenant with. So everybody knows someone here is lying. Actually, there's a lot of lying involved in the whole game, and that's why I don't like it. But it's making clear something. It's very hard to play this game, I would say, because the advice is trust nobody. You never know if they tell the truth. They may say, honestly, this is true, and they just deceive you. And they all want to win. One will be the winner, and the person who is undercovering and trying to frustrate and to try to prevent that there will be credits, or to make that it will be lost even. Yeah, he will lie. He has to be smart in lying. Yeah, that's something. If you think about such a situation, I say, okay, it's just a game. But I thought, is it not showing a lot about real life? Is it also not something that Scripture says you cannot really trust? You cannot really put your trust in man. There has to be some trust, you know, to live this life on earth. But somewhere in your mind you have to remember that Scripture says you can only trust God. But the real life in society, like we experience it daily, has a lot of this game, isn't it? People want to win, and people many times don't hesitate to lie about it and try to frustrate that another will do better than you do. It's so hard. Who can you trust? People say, honestly, this is true. This is such a good car. You can trust me. You can buy it. You find out it has a lot of trouble. You feel deceived. You might wonder, why is it this way? And we all know the answer. We have obeyed Satan in paradise. And he is the father of lies. He is so skilled in lying. He's so good in that. And the Lord Jesus says in the gospel according to John, by nature we are children of our father, the devil. So no wonder that we live in a world where it's so hard to know what is true. Yeah. And we lived in South Africa, at a certain point, the engine, the motor of the well was broken in our yard. So I called three people. I thought, well, then they can come and give me an estimate. And then only one showed up. I was very disappointed. Experience that people are very good to be kind. People are so kind that they say, yes, we come, and they have a hard time to be honest and say, well, I cannot make it. That's the world we live in. Who can you trust? Who will keep his word? Where do you find fidelity and truth? And some nations in this world are very terrible to think about even. If it's full of corruption, and you would try to find justice, but where could you go? The police is corrupt. The leaders, political people, they are corrupt. Nowhere, you can go nowhere. All people that are in power, in authority, they just look for their own gain. And so there's no way that you can find help. Those situations exist in this world. We are blessed if you have a system of court and laws and justice. And that's not everywhere the case. Where can you find fidelity and truth? You might have experienced it sometimes in certain situations. You know for sure that the situation was so and so, and you tell, and people surrounding you are just quiet. They don't want to support in these situations. They have their reasons, and they even deny it. You feel helpless. How can you make clear that you speak the truth? You don't know. Well, the Heidelberg Catechism is speaking about fidelity and truth. The question is, may we then swear religiously by the name of God? And the answer is yes. There are certain situations that we do it, that we are allowed, even that it is required to do it for the case of fidelity and truth. By the way, why is this question asked in the Heidelberg Catechism? Why is there a whole Lord's Day used for this aspect? This question, this case of swearing? Well, we have to know that in the days of the Reformation, there was not only a fight against the errors of the Roman Catholic Church, but at the other side, there was also a fight against the errors of the movement called the Anabaptists. And the Reformation was kind of in between. So one of the things of the Anabaptists was, well, when you belong to the Lord, you have nothing to do with society. You're not allowed, you wouldn't go into a political office. You wouldn't join the army. And we agree that that is wrong to speak like that. We are in this world, we have a duty and a task in this world, but we should not belong to the world. We should be different from the world. But the Anabaptist said, well, so it's wrong to swear. In the public area, you wouldn't use the name of the Lord. That's like profaning the name of the Lord. So it was, according to them, it was forbidden to swear. And that's why the Catechism is teaching clearly about it and asking this question, may we then swear religiously by the name of God? And the Catechism says, yes. There are certain situations that we may do it, that we have to do it. Either when the magistrates, so the government, demand it of the subjects, or when necessity requires us thereby to confirm fidelity and truth. That's what we talked about. How can you know for sure that it is true? How can you know that there will be fidelity? So, for example, in a court case, it can be required that you swear religiously, that you swear by the name of God, that you speak the truth. In a situation that a life of a person may depend on it. So it can be for the glory of God and the safety of our neighbor. So in those situations, we swear by the name of God. It's like we call the Lord to be the witness in that situation. He, the only one who knows the heart. We don't know it. We don't know if this person who wants to sell me a car is speaking the truth. I cannot look into his heart. God can. He knows what is within. He knows the truth. So when we swear, we speak being aware that we stand before the face of the all-knowing God, who is just and loves the truth and will bring judgment over them who break the truth and fidelity. So an example is a situation in court, and we know that it can be about life or death. Remember the situation in Scripture where Ahab wanted the vineyard of his neighbor, Naboth. And he couldn't sell it, neighbor couldn't sell it because it belonged to his family, and that was scriptural to keep it there. And then his wife, Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, she knew a way to solve this thing. You are the king. Well, I will deal with it. And she wrote letters to people, and then they organized a court case against Naboth. And some people came there with a false testimony, and he was accused and condemned, stoned, killed without a reason. He did nothing wrong. So that's an example of such a situation of a lack of justice. Can be a matter of life or death. In such situations, it is allowed to swear that God will be our witness. Yeah, so people can swear and still lie. That is true. That is true. But to stand before the Holy God and to mention His name and then to lie, that's something. How hard are you when you would do that? And God will certainly judge such a person. So it is useful, it is necessary sometimes to swear. Also, when a person is called to an important office where you have to know that this person will behave in a way of fidelity, this person will be trustworthy, you can trust this person, he will do his duty as good as he can. In those situations, then we can swear, call the Lord as a witness. Be aware of how serious this situation is, and that the Lord may judge if we lie and will not behave like we promise to do. It says in the Catechism, so those situations, it's allowed, it's even required when it's about the glory of God and the safety of our neighbor. For such an oath is founded on God's word. We find in the Bible that we have to do it in such situations. Like we have this text verse, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. There are several verses in Scripture prescribing us that we have to swear in certain situations, and therefore was justly used by the saints both in the Old and New Testament. And there are quite some examples of God-fearing people who would swear, and the Lord is prescribing. For example, in Exodus 22, there the Lord is giving a commandment to swear in a certain situation, and the situation is this. There is a person who is bringing a beast to his neighbor, and that animal is hurt. And now the question is, well, the man who is bringing that beast to his neighbor, is he the cause? Did he cause it or not? Or did it happen and he couldn't help it? And so how can you know? And then the Lord says, if a man delivers a hurt beast to a neighbor, an oath of the Lord will be between them both to solve this question. You have to speak being aware that you stand before the living and the all-knowing God, so that we can trust this is the truth. Another example we find in Nehemiah. We know this great leader, Nehemiah, who came to rebuild the city, the walls, and to bring a reformation among the people. And then at the end of this Bible book, we find an example where there's a real threat that the people will lose the fear and the knowledge of the Lord, because they married to Gentiles. And in those mixed marriages, there was such a danger that they would serve idols and wouldn't teach their children in a proper way. And Nehemiah was aware of the danger. And then he's doing something. He made them swear. He made them say, and he commanded them, "Ye shall not give your daughters unto sons of Gentiles." He made them swear. It's most important. This is about the glory of God. You could say even about the safety of neighbors. That's another example. Let me give you one more, one from the New Testament. In the letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verse 9, there Paul is writing, "God is my witness that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers." So Paul is swearing here. God is my witness. I am speaking the truth that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers. Paul is starting to write his letter to the Romans, a church that he had never met. And he's going to give a profound explanation of the doctrines, the way of salvation. And it's so important that they will have confidence, that they will receive this letter. And then he is using the name of the Lord. God is my witness that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers. I seek your spiritual well-being. I pray for you. God is my witness. So there are several examples in Scripture that we can and have to swear when it's about the glory of God and the safety of my neighbor. It's founded in Scripture. We find the examples there. So we have been reading Deuteronomy 6. There we see that the Lord is commanding his people to swear by his name. And we know it's wrong to use the name of the Lord in vain. Some people do that. When they speak, in every sentence they might use the name of the Lord in vain. It's empty. It has no purpose. They don't think when they do that. And that's a sin against this commandment. As if the name of the Lord can be used just to fill the time that we need to think about our next sentence without giving it any content, as if the Lord is just nothing and his name is nothing. We even have to watch that we wouldn't do it when we pray. It's good to use the name of the Lord, that we wouldn't every sentence use his name without thinking about it. We certainly should use his name, but we should do it in a way that we are thoughtful and show reverence and respect. Oh, you can see and hear it everywhere that people use his name in vain. Maybe when you watch a certain program, people use his name in vain, people curse. What would you do? I think it's good, it's wise to stop watching that If you just would continue watching, you get used to it. It might harden your heart. And you might start to do it yourself by seeing these examples all the time. It's a terrible sin. But it's good to use His name when it is needed. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shall swear by His name. So it's good to think about this verse. To swear by His name, it is in a certain context that Moses is writing about it. It needs a certain attitude in our lives to swear by His name, to use the name of the Lord the right way. That demands that we fear the Lord. Fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and thou shalt swear by His name. So why is Moses putting so much emphasis on it? Well, he's warning the people against idolatry, against serving other gods. They could see the example everywhere surrounding them. Other nations, other people serve other gods, have several gods. But Moses is urging the people, warning them that they have to fear the Lord. And when they have to confirm truth and fidelity, they should not swear by the name of any idol, but they should swear by His name. So in a very serious way, Moses is charging the people to fear the Lord. Is that necessary that he is doing it this way? Yes, and he is explaining why he is doing it. There are several threats which he is mentioning here. Threats to lose the fear of the Lord. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shall swear by His name. So you cannot swear in a right way if there's not a fear of the Lord in your heart. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? Does it mean that you are really afraid of God? That you run away? No, that's not what it means. To fear the Lord is that your heart is full of respect towards God. That you are aware who He is. And that you love Him and have a desire to obey Him. To fear the Lord and to swear by His name. That is the attitude that you could use this swearing, that you are aware God is the Almighty God. And He is a righteous God. He is the all-knowing God. Would you dare to lie and even mention His name? You certainly wouldn't. So fear the Lord. What are the threats? What is the danger that Moses is describing here? Let me mention two. The first one he is mentioning here, we find in verse 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So he says a real danger is that you forget the Lord. Forgetfulness is a danger, is a threat concerning the fear of the Lord. Oh, when they look back and think about what the Lord has done, how He delivered them out of Egypt, how they had joy and were singing when they were saved from that great danger, then their hearts are full of respect and fear of the Lord. And they trust Him and they love Him. But Moses knows them so well. Moses knows the human heart. And we have to know our hearts. Forgetfulness is a threat. It is a danger if we think about the fear of the Lord. And so is also a danger that we will start to use the name of the Lord in vain, not in a proper way. Forgetfulness. Did you ever think about it? We easily forget things, isn't it? You've all been to school, you still might go to school. If you think about things that they were teaching you some years ago, and now you have to answer questions about it, you say, oh, I forgot it. I have to look it up. I have to study it again. It's no more clear in my mind. We are human beings that are forgetting things all the time. How many times do we say, oh, I just forgot about it? At a certain point, you know it clearly. And then after some time, you lose it. So many other things asking, demanding your attention, and you forget it. And Moses warning them, you should not forget the Lord who has saved you. That's why you are here today in church. That's why you are here for the second time in church. That's why you read your Bible daily. And many things in Scripture. I hope you read through your Bible and read through it again. And you will say, oh, I have seen this before. I didn't know anymore that it was there in Scripture. You forgot about it. Yeah, that's how we are. And it's such a danger. We are in danger to not fear the Lord when we do not regularly attend church, when we do not regularly read Scripture in a way that we pay attention. You can be in church and not listening. You're just dreaming about what you did last week. You're just making your plans for the new week, and your mind is not here. And so you lose the knowledge that your parents gave you when you were a child. You don't know clearly the things of the Lord anymore. And when you go to church, you find it harder and harder to listen. You think it's difficult in church. Pastors should preach more simple. And yeah, it's good to try. But you know, when you don't study the Word, then it becomes more difficult. It has not your heart anymore. It's such a danger just to forget. And we might not watching against this danger and not see what a terrible sin it is to forget about the Lord. Isn't it a danger for God's children as well? Moses says, He saved you from Egypt. You shouldn't forget about it. But if the Lord has set you free out of the slavery of sin, out of the power of darkness and fear, and you have known His sweet love in your heart, and then you forget about it. You're so busy in life. You have so much to pay attention to in your family, in your business, in your personal life. You forget about it. And it becomes darker and darker in your heart. You lose the light of the knowledge of God. Oh, we should remember that parable of the Lord Jesus about the seed that is sown. And some seed fell in the midst of the thorns and the thistles, and they grew up. And then that seed was not bearing fruit because the thorns took away the light and the humidity, and it was not fruitful. It just was useless. What a danger to forget about the Lord. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Then? When? What does he mean? Well, after the Lord has provided in the promised land a place to live, houses full of good things, which you did not build, wells which you did not dig, vineyards which you did not plant. And if you have received all those good things from the Lord, and you live in peace and in abundance, then you are in a great danger to forget about the Lord. It's true. It's true. When we are in a situation of need, when we don't have what we need for our daily life, we are more ready to call the name of the Lord for help, to call to the Lord for help when the Lord has provided. We are so in need to forget about the Lord. Things are going well in my life. I'm doing fine. And there is that thought in our mind, I can do without the Lord. Why would I seek the Lord? I'm doing fine. And we forget about the Lord and we don't fear Him. And we sin against His commandment. We use His name in vain. Or we don't use His name anymore. That's a sin against His commandment. We don't acknowledge the name of the Lord. You probably have experienced that. If someone would neglect you, it hurts. If he wouldn't mention the name of the Lord, it's a sin against this commandment. Let's say there's someone who was in a real situation of misery. He lost everything. His house was burned, and you stepped in and you provided for that person. And now this person is doing well again, because you supported him or her in such a way. And then you meet that person on the street and he just behaves as if you do not exist. That would hurt. It's much worse if we do not acknowledge the Lord with our hearts, to love Him. So the first threat is to forget. And the second one is that we follow wrong examples of people surrounding us. We are all inclined to follow examples. It's probably much more than we are aware of. We watch people surrounding us, and what they do, well, we are inclined to do it as well. If it looks good, we think, we could do that. If it feels good, and Moses knew that it was such a danger for the people that they would forget about the Lord. And verse 14, he says, "Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." We can lose the fear of the Lord, or not find the fear of the Lord, by forgetting what he has revealed to us and by following wrong examples, following the way of life in the world. Or for the people of Israel, follow the examples of serving idols. They could see it in the nations surrounding them, and it looked so good. They had beautiful images, and they had God you could see. They could kneel before those images. They were so attractive to the people. And they started to do it time and again, every time and again. Yeah. And we are the same. We have also such a heart that we follow the example of people that do not fear the Lord, and that we walk in our own ways. Instead of fearing the Lord and acknowledging His name, we follow people. It's such a danger that we follow the habits of this world. And they seem to be exciting, but at the end of the day, they are deceiving. And Moses says, God is jealous. God is jealous in a holy way. He will certainly not allow it. He will bring judgment over us, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee. So, something that we have to remember in daily life. At school, young people, children, do you follow the examples of people, students in your class? Even if you know deep in your heart it's wrong, but it is so attractive, and you just do it and forget about the Lord and do not listen to the voice of your conscience, then you have to be prepared that the Lord will bring His judgment. He is warning us in His word here. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 7, stanza 1 through 3. We sing Psalter 7, stanza 1 through 3. On the good and faithful God has set His love. When they call, He sends them blessings from above. Psalter 7, stanza 1 through 3. Congregation, we have seen that to swear in the right way by the name of the Lord, we have to fear the Lord. And there are two dangers mentioned by Moses that we could lose as a society, as a people, or personally, the fear of the Lord when we forget about the Lord. And also when we follow the examples of people that are not fearing the Lord, the godless examples. Let's think now in a positive way about what the fear of the Lord is, what it includes, what is involved of in a life of fearing the Lord. And Moses is teaching about this in this scripture part as well. And he's mentioning, you could say, two things. The first one is that there has to be obedience. Obedience to the Lord. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Obey the Lord. So to fear the Lord, it's a childlike fear. That you love the Lord and respect Him, show reverence. And how would you do that if you want to live in disobedience? You have to obey the Lord. We all understand that. We want our children to obey what we tell them to do. The Lord is teaching His people, obey my commandments, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command thee, and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, all His commandments, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. There is a protection in it for the people when they walk and live according to His word. We can easily understand that. It is destructive in our personal lives if we live and want to continue to live in sin. It is destructive for families, for relations, if we live in sin and want to continue in sin. It is destructive for a society if we allow sin and continue in this way. Ultimately, it will destroy a society. That's what happened through world history. If you study Roman Empire or the Greek Empire, all those big empires, ultimately they were destroyed because they just wanted the pleasure of sin, and they became weak, and they lost all their greatness, their power, their influence. There is a blessing in even in outward obedience to the word of God. That's certainly not enough. Oh, the Lord wants the heart. The Lord wants us to love Him. But when we love the Lord, we will love His will, of course. If I know by faith that He in Christ is my Heavenly Father, then I want to please Him. That is so clear as it could be. I want to please Him because I love Him. So hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. So obedience, that is a very vital, a very important aspect of a life in the fear of the Lord. And the other one is the knowledge of God. That we know Him. To fear the Lord means to trust Him. It means to love Him. To obey Him. But then we need knowledge. How can you trust a person that you don't know anything about? How would you feel deep respect for a person that you don't know who he is and what he has done? You all understand that. If there is a certain person in our society who is a real good leader, has done very important things, and people tell the history, the stories about it, you hear it, and it fills your heart with respect. Oh, that is great what this person did. So we need to hear the works of the Lord, who he is, what he has done, so that we will trust him, know him, love him, fear him. And that's what Moses is doing here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He is so different from the idols of the people surrounding you. They have many idols, but God is one. And you have to serve him. Actually, you can only serve one God, really with your whole heart. It's like, could you climb two mountaintops at the same time? You cannot. Can you fear two gods? Can there be two infinite gods? No, that's impossible. The Lord is one, and he is demanding your whole heart in total surrender and fear. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. This is so vital. You have to love the Lord. Yeah, I said there's a certain blessing in outward disobedience. At the same time, it doesn't feel good to say that. Because the Lord wants inward obedience. He wants your heart. How can you really obey him when you do not love him? Because to summarize the law is in one word. What word would you use to summarize the law in one word? Which word is used by Scripture? It's the word love. And if you don't love the Lord, you cannot really obey him like you should. You will not obey him like you should. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. So that's why you have to teach your children. Thou shalt teach your children diligently the commandments of the Lord, who he is, shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, in any situation. That's great to see a father and a son, they're doing a job, and there's a question, and the father is using it to bring up some thing of the knowledge of God, who God is. There's a family spending some time in nature, and the parents point to the great works of the Lord, and that the Lord is so worthy to be loved and obeyed. And then Moses says, and thou shalt bind those commandments for a sign upon thine hand. Maybe you ever saw Jews doing that in a literal way. They had a little box, and there they have the commandments of the Lord, or between their eyes, like the Lord says here, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, or even at the posts of the house, like the Lord says, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Is that a meaning? Is that what the Lord wants us to do? Is it not much deeper? You can do that. You can bind them on your hand. You can write them in the post of your house. It doesn't mean that you love the Lord, that you obey him. Is it not much more that you have to use your hand in a way that we can see that you love the Lord? In whatever you do, that we see that attitude of obedience to God, of love to the Lord. Wherever your eyes are, whatever you watch, that it will not be in conflict with obedience to the Lord and love of the Lord. And whatever enters your house, that it will not oppose the commandments of God. Whatever would be in your town, that it would be according to the will of God. Isn't that a deep meaning of these verses? So let's come to a conclusion. Maybe you're sitting here and you say, Pastor, I feel lost. How can I have this obedience? How can I have that obedience that I need to have? I don't have it. I struggle with it. To be honest, I feel I trespass daily the commandments of the Lord. So it seems I'm not fearing the Lord. Can I be saved? Can I be saved? Is that your question? What a good question you ask. Well, Pastor, it's so dark. I don't know how to handle my life. There's so much disobedience. There's so much self-will in my life. I want to go my own way and to satisfy my own desires. And I don't have a real interest to know more about God, to read Scripture. I'm so glad that you say those things. I'm not glad about it, that it is the case in your life. This is a first step, that you are honest about it. And you're not alone. This is our heart. This is how we all are by nature. Be honest about it. Don't neglect it. Don't give the impression that you are better, you are different, that you are such a good religious person. That's foolish. So fall before the Lord on your knees and look to Christ. Look to Him who is revealing God, who's bringing the knowledge, and who has all the obedience. He has obeyed the Lord in a perfect way. So here you are, helpless, hopeless in yourself, but made honest by the Holy Spirit. And then look to Him and believe that it is true, that He is saving sinners, people that have nothing to offer in themselves. And then this love of Christ will melt your heart so that you will love Him as a result of that. And He will use His Spirit, send it in your life, to change your heart, to give you a real desire, a hunger to know the Lord and to obey Him. No, don't try to build your salvation on what you have or are. It's firm on the foundation of the work of Christ. But there will be a fruit in your life. There will be the fear of the Lord. Oh, to see His salvation. Never forget what He did, that He washed my sins away. Yeah, that will incline my heart to fear Him every day again. And are you still doubting about it? If this salvation is possible for you, listen. Listen. It's not only that the Lord says in His word that we have to swear by His name, but the Lord does in several places swear by His own name. The Lord, who cannot lie, is making an oath so that we would believe and trust Him for our salvation. We read in Ezekiel 33, verse 11, "Say unto them, as I live," so that's an oath, "as certain as I live, said the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." That's what the Lord says. He has no pleasure that you would perish, that you would die. No. He has a pleasure in salvation of sinners. That's why He gave His Son. And He will provide in all your need. Work the fear of His name, knowledge, obedience, so that you will rejoice in Him and give Him all the glory, and that forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word. Bless it to our hearts. O Lord, to fear Thee, to love Thee. Life is empty without this love of the Lord in our hearts. And who would not love Thee when we see that great salvation in Thy Son to save us out of all misery, to bring us to the highest joy and glory in Christ, here by faith and in eternity in experience. There will be no darkness anymore, no lack of knowledge, no lack of zeal, there we will sing thy praise forever and ever. Lord, be with us when we go home. Protect us on the dangerous roads. Pray that thou would bless the sing-along of the young people, Lord, and that it will be to thy glory, that they, Lord, will sing with their hearts, like thou art worthy to be loved with our whole hearts. Forgive, O Lord, all our sins in speaking and listening, in our thoughts. Lord, fill our hearts with this presence of Christ and his sufficient work. Lord, we pray, hear us. In Jesus' name, amen.